we want to consider tonight are going to take us to basically three passages of Scripture that will give us what you might be able to call a motto or a mantra for a church. Tonight I want to be able to consider these together as we look to another year that is soon to dawn upon us, and trust that the Lord will use it in a wonderful way to help us, that we would effectively be able to minister in the year ahead. Before we consider these thoughts together this evening, though, let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll consider these passages together quickly tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we're able to come and we're able to look at thy word and consider truth from it. Lord, I thank you tonight for the testimonies that have been given of your goodness, your grace, your strength, your help, your guidance and wisdom. We thank you for the songs that have been sung, which remind us of how great a God you are, the wonderful blessing that one day soon we'll be with you and we'll see our Savior face to face. So Lord, tonight we ask and pray that in these few moments that we have together, that you would allow our hearts to be directed to truth that will help us in the year to come. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. Every business needs a clear vision statement to help it reach its goals and to be effective in whatever field that it is involved with. You know, the same is true in the field of education. If teachers are going to be effective and able to communicate the essential elements of a child's education, they need to have clear objectives and clear goals, understanding what it is there to communicate to that child, that child can be truly given the education that they need and that they deserve. You know, the same is true within the Church of Jesus Christ. We are a local body called out by God to serve the community of Mount Pearl and the surrounding community of St. John's, and even to go out to greater regions of our province and then throughout all the world. You and I as a people need to understand some basic truths that will help us to be able to continually be effective as we seek to minister in our generation. These goals that we're going to look at tonight are general by nature, and I think are general in nature because there needs to be room to work within those goals that we believe the Lord would have us to understand. As our church grows and as our church changes over the years to come, our goals will eventually change. But as I've considered our church and where we are today and what our needs are for the coming year, these three thoughts have kept been coming back to my mind over the last several months, and I wanted to share them with you as we consider them this evening. I've asked you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and the first thing that I want us to consider, the first truth to consider, is not new for us. In fact, it's been what we have been operating under since I first came back in 2008. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we find these wonderful words, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." The challenge that we have considered over the last few years is simply the thought that each person called out by God is to continually grow in the Lord. You and I, at each day and each year that lies before us, have a responsibility to continually grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you and I are going to be effective in ministering in this generation, if we're going to be able to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the people of God must continue to grow in his grace. Russell reminded us of how even this year the Lord shared with him the needs to be reminded of things that we already once knew. But what a wonderful blessing it is for us as believers to be able to study the Word of God, to be able to grow and continually grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's that grace that saved us, is it not? Ephesians 2, 8, 9 tells, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By His grace, He saved you and I. He called us out of this world. He made us His very own. It is that grace that now as believers sustains us. It is that grace that now gives us strength for which we can serve. You can consider 2 Corinthians and look at verse 12 and verse 9 and following. But there we're reminded, as Paul would say, that three times I besought the Lord to remove this thorn in my flesh. But the Lord taught him that my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, God told Paul, I will make you strong. That you would be able to serve. And when we feel those days of weakness and we feel as though we are unable to do that which God would call us to do, what a wonderful blessing that the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4 that we have a great high priest who is touched by the feelings of our own infirmities and has given us the wonderful privilege of access to the very throne of God, there to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Each and every one of us has a responsibility in this year to come to grow in grace. So as I consider what is it that we need for the year to come, the first phrase that comes to my mind is that of growing in His grace. We need to be continually growing in the grace of our God. We need His help day by day. There is no way that we can effectively minister to one another, let alone reach a community that surrounds us, if we're not growing daily in His grace. If we're not continually coming to the Lord and seeking for His help and growth and understanding. I think it's interesting to note that this verse links the concept of grace and knowledge. We grow in His grace as we gain an understanding or a knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We grow in knowledge, and that knowledge will cause us to grow in His grace. That we, as the verse will say, might be to the glory of our Savior both now and forevermore. So I want to ask you tonight, as we conclude 2011, as you look to 2012, what plans have you put in place for this year so that you'll ensure that you'll be growing in His grace? I'm amazed to see how many folks, and probably one of the most disappointing things that you deal with in working with people is when you see individuals who believe that they have somehow arrived spiritually. There's no longer any further that they need to go. There's no one that could really help them understand things any longer because they have arrived at a higher level than everyone else. There's no need for them to listen to counsel. There's no need for them to really give their time or attention to the Word of God as it's proclaimed. And it really doesn't matter if they're here or not. The reality is they've arrived. They've achieved all that they're going to achieve. That's frightening to me to see folks like that. Because folks, there's not one of us that's arrived. There's not one of us that doesn't need to be growing in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's not one of us that does not need Him day by day. In every area of our lives this year, we need to be growing in His grace. That's true as we minister. That's true within our marriages and our families. That's true in our workplaces and our testimony to those without. There's a need for God's people to be growing in grace. That's been our desire even since we first came, that we would as a church be growing in that grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That we would be to His glory now and forevermore. So as we consider 2012, can I encourage you again to consider how you will grow in His grace this year? I want you to turn now, if you would, with me to the book of Colossians and the second chapter. Colossians chapter 2. Forgive me tonight for my sound. I have my annual issue that I have every Christmas and New Year's, and I'm hoping that things will hold out here. It seems to be doing okay, but I feel like it's getting weaker the more and more I talk, but we'll try to make it through tonight. Colossians chapter 2, would you look with me, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes and says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of our Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, that ye have been taught and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ." Not only are we to be growing in His grace, but the second concept that I see that is a burden for me, for us as a congregation, for us as believers, is simply this: that we would be grounded in truth. We need to be growing in grace, but grounded in truth. Again, verse 6 through 8 are the key concepts, or the key verses to this concept. That as we have received Christ, having received the salvation of Christ, having received that wonderful relationship with Him, we are now to, by faith, walk in Christ. But then verse 7 goes on and shares with us these thoughts, that in order to walk by that faith in these days, we must be rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith. The idea of all those words in verse 7 speaks of one who has a proper foundation, one who is firmly fixed in their beliefs. The world around us is constantly changing, and so is the landscape of religion. There are, I would say, no new doctrines in this world, but there are many old doctrines that have been given new life in our generation. Old battles being refought, old doctrines being remade, and our generation must now fight and be involved in those debates and those battles. And we have to be careful that we not allow those things to carry us away from the truth that which been once delivered unto us. You know, the reality is, this year, like many years in the past, there will probably be things that will dishearten many people. Within the realm of religion, there will probably arise some new scandal. That scandal will cause many to turn their back upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They'll grow bitter and angry because some leader was found to be in sin, or some other problem has arisen in some other institution or some church. Folks, those things happen because men are sinful. But the reality is, none of those things ought to move us in the days ahead. Nothing should shake us to the core and cause us to go astray. Well, you and I need to be ready and to be grounded in the truth of the Word of God. Can I remind you that it's the Bible that's the final authority for your faith and practice? Paul writes to the folks here at Colossae, and he challenges them to be rooted, to be built up in Christ, to be established in their faith, firmly fixed, that no man through philosophy or vain deceit would beguile them and take them away, not the traditions of men, not the rudiments of the world, but that we would be firmly fixed in Christ. That needs to be our need this year. That we as a people would be firmly grounded in truth. I said to you just a moment ago that the Bible is the final authority for faith and practice. Can I share one thought with you? I was thinking about this afternoon. You know, and there's probably very few within our congregations that would be drawn away by false doctrine. We've been pretty well taught. Most of us would pick up a counterfeit doctrine and we would not be so much shaken in our faith by those overt problems of false doctrine. Do you know what I'm sensing? Where many people begin to slip? It's not in their faith. It's in practice. We are to be firmly grounded in the truth in our practice. I'm concerned for families who begin to make decisions. Decisions concerning their practice. That they probably don't even understand what the end result of those decisions are. But folks, every decision we make has a consequence. And every choice that we make is going to make a difference in the end result of your life and mine. And where many folks will be led astray because they aren't grounded in the truth of His Word is in the area of their practice. The little things. All of a sudden, certain things won't be important anymore. It's not important. I've read my Bible for 30 years. I can give it up this year. I've been attending the church since the early 70s or the 60s, and I've been saved for many years. I can start to slip a little there. I've been serving God for all these years. It's time to let someone else serve. I'm just going to quit and sit on sidelines now. The church really doesn't need us. If we're there, if we're not there, it really doesn't matter. Someone else will pick up the slack. Our practice becomes the problem. And those little decisions that we make are making all the difference in our churches. I've had opportunity to talk with pastors. I've been talking to some other people within congregations. And they're simply saying, and some are asking for some counsel. Well, what do we do when we start to see our church going in this direction? It's not a problem of doctrine. What is it? It's the problem of practice. Pastors make little new changes in areas of practice and it begins to take the church in a new direction. And it's hard sometimes to be able to say to folks, do you understand where that will lead? That new practice is going to this new way. There's danger sometimes in those things, and we have to be careful. So as a church, we need to be growing in grace and grounded in the truth of God's Word in areas of faith and practice. It matters, folks, how you live day by day. That's why we took the time to teach on the importance of Bible study and the right interpretation, because it is all about application. God gave His Word to change your life and to affect the way you live. God didn't teach about salvation so you can go to hell. He taught about salvation that you might be saved and have your eternal destiny forever changed. He didn't teach about areas of sanctification and give the command to be holy as He is holy so you can live as a saved heathen. He gave it that your life would be changed forever. But the problem is we're not well grounded in the truth. Somebody comes along with vain philosophy and deceit. They come in with traditions and rudiments of the world. They're not after Christ. And so easily we are led astray in areas of practice. Folks, we need to be growing in grace, grounded in truth. Now I want you to turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to look with me at verse 14. And I'm going to skip down and read a few other verses at the end of the chapter. Verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Excuse me. "Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." As a church, we need to be growing in grace. We need to be grounded in truth. And folks, we need to be going in love. The love of Jesus Christ brought him to Calvary's tree. And there he died for us. Paul would say that that love now constrains me. It's what holds me together. It is so important to him. His desire was that he would now be different, that he would now be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed of that gospel. And folks, you and I, who are growing in grace and grounded in the truth, need to be ready to go in love to a world that is lost, a world that is dying. You know, I find it interesting. Some years ago, the name was changed to make our street address Ambassador Place. That wasn't the original name of this property. It is today. You know, you and I come here in this place for the purpose that we, through the study of God's Word, would grow in grace. We come that we might be grounded in the truth. But we ought to go from this place in love as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Now, when you and I drive off this property, so we head out into our communities, we need to understand that we're going forth as missionaries to a mission field. All of us have a responsibility to be ready to give a reason of the hope that lieth within us. All of us have a responsibility to share our faith with those to whom God has put us in contact with. I want to ask you a question. Are you ready this year to give the reason of the hope that lieth within? I wonder if there's someone that you know God would have you reach this year with the gospel. It's easy to allow church to be a place that we can grow in grace, and that's exciting, and it is. It's exciting to watch people grow. It's exciting to grow yourself, is it not? It's exciting to know that there is truth for which we can be fixed and settled. But folks, all of that is given that we might go, that we might be ready to share with others their need of a Savior. Can you think of one person this year that God's going to put into your path with a purpose for you to reach them with the gospel? If you can think of that person, will you commit to pray for them? Will you commit to witness to them? Will you commit to be ready to disciple them the moment they are saved? Are you going to invite them to services? What will you do this year to go into the world? You know, God places people in all of our pathways. And each one of us needs to be ready to give that reason of hope and to be ready to share the good news of the gospel. 2011 has come and gone. 2012 is right on our doorstep. I think it's in some ways exciting to realize that the first day of a new year will be in the house of our Lord together. But as we go from this place, will we go in love, ready to share the good news of the gospel with those around us? We haven't reached the end. The race is not yet over. If it was, we'd have heard the trumpet sound. The dead in Christ would have been called, and we who are alive and remain would have met the Lord in the air. But the race isn't over. So we can no longer forget the importance to reach forth to those things which are before. And reaching on and pressing on to the prize that's before us. And as we look to continue to run the race that is set before us in 2012, I trust God will help us as a people, individually, as families, as a ministry, to be growing in grace, to be grounded in the truth. Can I say to you that there are a lot of churches this year that are going to battle through many things, and some are going to make wrong choices in doctrine. And it is happening a lot right now. We need to be growing in grace, grounded in truth, and ready to go in love to a world that is lost and dying, so that we might be able to effectively minister not only one to another, but also to a community that is lost and without Christ. Growing in grace, grounded in truth, going in love. Let's pray together, and then we're going to take some time in just a moment as a congregation to pray and ask the Lord's blessing for our new year. But let's close our message now in prayer.